644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. They have Alice Cooper's School's Out for Summer, but they don't really have a lot of songs about back to school. I guess maybe people don't celebrate that as much. Larry Carter joins us, President of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers. How you doing, Larry?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. I know y'all are excited because it's your chosen profession and you love to get back in the classroom, don't you?
Absolutely.
Larry, address this, if you will, please, because I talked about teachers going into their own pocket to pay for supplies, and inevitably, whenever I talk to you or about teachers, I get this text, and it says, well, teachers don't have it bad. I don't mean to put that voice on people, but I'm going to anyway. Teachers don't have it bad. They have the whole summer off. It's not about that. It's not. You would rather work 12 months a year and get paid more money, would you not?
Absolutely. And in fact, I often hear that, too, from those who are not, you know, in the classroom
and
teaching
ahead,
30 or 35 students. So I do hear that as well.
And the other thing I'll say is that having teachers in the family, I can tell you, if you think their last day is the last day of school and their first day is the first day of school, you're kidding yourself, because that's not the way it works either.
Absolutely. Most teachers do have either second jobs or they also teach during summer schools to help students with enrichment during the summer. So it's not that every single teacher gets off during the summertime.
So I just throw that argument out. That doesn't matter at all, because it's not about that. It's about the chosen profession. What are the biggest challenges for the school year coming up that you're looking at as the president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers?
Right now, in fact, I'll say this. As of today, our staff, the Louisiana Federation of Teachers staff, along with our affiliate staff and leaders, have probably attended about 40 events for new teacher orientations and back-to-school events. And what I've been hearing so far has been the same, teacher shortages and retention.
Mm-hmm.
We're still seeing too many educators leave the classroom. We've heard, I know through all the meetings I've been at already starting in July, teachers are retiring early. They're leaving for better paying jobs outside of education. And the truth is, when teachers leave, it's harder to find those qualified people to take their places, and that affects our students the most. And we still hear pay. Louisiana teachers and support staff, and you and I both know, work just as hard as anyone in the country, but we're still paid well below the Southern average. Recent stipends help temporarily, I'll be honest, but we need permanent raises that keep great teachers and school employees in our schools. That's something we've been fighting for at the Capitol every single year. And until we continue to really see an investment and what we say is at least a fair pay, we're going to still see people who make different decisions for their families, but also those things also impact our students. So support and resources are also some of the top on the list.
I think
issues.
Somehow the message gets confused in that it's not about people wanting to be teachers because they get paid. You don't necessarily want that. The idea is to attract the best and brightest that want to teach and have it be affordable for them to do that and feed a family. Accurate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really what it's about. And again, they're in possession and classrooms with students sometimes for 7, 8 hours. And they have a love for that position that they hold, and that's to care for our young people. And I looked at it when I was in the classroom as a noble position, one that, to me, I held in high esteem because I understood the charge that was given to me. I went into the profession myself not because of the pay. It was because of a love for want to help the next generation get the knowledge and information that they can become successful contributors to our society and to our communities.
I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if you want to get into this or not, but I don't think people realize the responsibility that teachers have and the pressure that they're under, both from internal forces with test scores, et cetera, and principals, but also from external sources with parents and expectations, et cetera. Do you want to get into that a little bit?
Yes. Look, there's a lot of pressure, I'll be honest, to not only help impart knowledge to students, but also deal with all the factors that go into that. That's having conversations with parents about a child's behavior, about a child's academic progress, and then having curriculum that's designed to help you get there. And if there's some issues with that curriculum, how do you go to an administrator and talk about is this the right curriculum for that particular student or groups of students? It's a pressure that most who don't do that work really just don't understand, but it's a lot on your shoulders when you're carrying a load where you are the person in a classroom that's responsible. In most cases, I just talked to a teacher yesterday. She was, I think, in a middle school, no, an elementary school teacher. She had 42 students in a classroom. She said it's very difficult to focus on instruction for 42 students, which when I was teaching, we were trying our very best to keep it under 26.
What grade was this, Larry?
This was fourth.
Fourth grade. So you're talking about 10-year-olds about or not?
10, 9, and 10-year-olds.
So you got 42 9 or 10-year-olds, and she's in the he's in the classroom by themselves?
She's in the classroom as the standalone, you know, educator in that classroom, teaching that classroom. And she was just saying how difficult that is when you have all those different personalities and then learning styles. And not only that, but then how do you really make the lesson exciting enough to maintain an audience of 46 students, where that's unheard of in most cases. But what we've seen is,
did you say 46?
Because of the shortages. 46 students.
So there you go. Let me take a break. When we come back, I'm just going to leave people with that thought. Imagine just babysitting, okay? Just babysitting 46 10-year-olds for, what, 7 hours?
Man, yes.
But it's beyond that, because you got to teach them, and then they're going to get tested, and you're responsible for whether or not they got that material. 47 10-year-olds. Can you imagine just babysitting them for that amount of time, let alone trying to teach them? 651, 9 till 9, traffic, WWL. 657, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I should say, if you're looking for Mike Strain, who is normally on at this time, no disrespect to our guest, of course, but he's in Ireland, so you'd have to get on a plane to go see Mike in the old sod, if you want to see him, but he'll be back next week. Larry Carter, President of Louisiana Federation of Teachers, our guest, talking about, you know, before we went to break, 48 kids, 10-year-olds in fourth grade, one teacher. Good luck babysitting them for 7 hours, let alone teaching them. And it does come down to, Larry, and I don't think a lot of people realize this when it comes to teaching, that you got to maintain, you have a lot of responsibility without necessarily the authority that you need. And there is no worse combination, I don't care if it's business, if it's teaching, I don't care what it is, than having responsibility without authority, because they hold you responsible for things that are beyond your control. And in a classroom today, if you look at a kid sideways, and I'm not suggesting that teachers put their hands on students or anything like that, but teachers are under a lot of pressure from parents who don't want to believe that their child can misbehave, or different rules. You do the wrong thing, you might find yourself going to jail. Am I making too much of this or not?
No, you're spot on, Tom. In fact, one of the things I had been hearing too out on, you know, the trail, so to speak, and visiting all of these different school parishes around the state is, teachers identify for us that they're seeing more behavioral issues and student mental health needs than ever before, I'll be honest. And what I've often heard from them, they say, look, we need better tools, not just more rules, to help students succeed and keep classrooms safe, because that is somewhat what impedes great teaching and learning in those classrooms. And so we're advocating to make sure at the Capitol, at the BSEE board, as well as in schools when we meet at the local level with school districts and with superintendents, and talk about those issues, because it is an impediment to great teaching and learning. It really is. And we want to make sure that those young people get the supports that they need to be successful and to thrive. And so that is spot on. I'll be totally honest with you. I heard that quite often in my visits around the state this opening of school.
Somebody said, texted in and said, first time you said 42 kids and 46. I said 47, now 48. I don't know. If it's over 40, whatever it is,
it
over
46.
40. Over 40 is all 46. That matters. If you want to dwell on that little detail, if we misspoke, whoever texted this in. Larry, real quick, 20 seconds, a final message for parents heading into the school year.
Yes, I would say, you know, get involved when there's parent-teacher engagement. Attend those parent-teacher conferences. It's important for you to hear from your teacher and for your teacher to hear from you about your child's development, growth, and their safety. So I would leave you with that. Let's make sure that we get off to a good start.
Thank you, sir.